Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God. We have discussed the importance of prayer in nourishing our spiritual life, in putting God in that first place in our life through worship and adoration, which is his due. And this is a positive aspect of our faith. Something we must actively do and continue to grow in. We must also remember sometimes the negative aspects of our faith, things we must not do. Also, negative positive aspects, or things we must actively not do, things we must avoid, things we must remove from our lives. We must certainly not commit murder, but how often does this come up in our life? We must also, under this fifth commandment, it comes the undue harm to our neighbor, or even retaliation to our siblings. Even in this, we must not just hold our peace. We must work to actively move away from the temptation, to make it distant. We must work at removing occasions of sins from our lives. In moral theology, we talk about necessary and unnecessary or voluntary occasions of sin. Things that we allow to persist, and this is a choice, an act of the will, to allow them to be there and to remain. We would term our siblings as a necessary occasion of sin, as one cannot be justified in removing them. Another could be the workplace, as we must provide for our family. We must have that quality of life. We must struggle through that occasion. However, we must work to make it as remote as possible. Not something that, okay, well, this is necessary, so now I just completely dive in. No, it's necessary only to a point. Not speaking of physical distance and remoteness, but rather the danger of sinning from it. So we have to study ourselves. How much of an occasion of sin is this for me? How much does this weigh upon me to move me to sin? This means two things. Yes, physically avoid the situation as much as possible, but also strengthening our resolve against it by knowing what affects us, knowing our propensity to certain sins, being self-aware the effect even people have upon us. We must be watching out for what leads us to sin and working to remove it. This is our work in the spiritual life. We have to be self-aware. We have to be conscious of the things around us, spiritually conscious. How is this affecting me? We must have this resolve. We cannot continue to tell God we are sorry, yet leave in place the means to offend him, things that continually lead us to offend him. We see in the feast of the Epiphany, the wise men, the Holy Family, prudently avoiding dangers to their lives. More importantly is the danger to the soul. Thus, even if we have a necessary occasion of sin, but the danger is to such a degree that we are struggling so much we may lose our soul because of the vice it causes. Now, our soul is more important than our body. We must have more suffering to the body than to the soul. We must remove that occasion of sin, no matter the difficulty it presents to us, even the loss of our life. And so the martyrs would not offer incense to those idols. They would not give up their faith. They suffered death. And this is an extreme. Perhaps we're not all called to martyrdom, but we are called to that daily martyrdom of living our faith and fighting against our fallen human nature, fighting against the comforts of the body that lead us into sin. We mortify our bodies to bring it into subjection. Subjection to what? To God's law, to my will subject to God's law. And so we make acts of the will in every situation. We look at ourselves, we're aware of ourselves. How are things affecting me? And so we must work to know ourselves, to study oneself. Then it takes time. It takes time to see how I react in certain situations and look back in my past life, what I have done, the choices that I've made, and where I've come. It also takes help from an outside source. Sometimes we can't see ourselves as well as someone else can. And so take heed from someone with a different vantage point. The bishop, he would always bring up this quote, "He who has himself as a spiritual director has a fool as a spiritual director." We cannot do surgery on ourselves. We cannot provide all those things of ourselves. We have to have an outside source to help us. We take example of this Christ child. He went down with them and was subject to them. No human being is absolutely perfect. We're not going to tell you to do the absolute perfect thing. But with obedience comes sacrifice, comes that willingness to surrender to God Almighty ultimately. To say, okay, as long as it's not something sinful being counseled, as much as it is a sacrifice, as much as I disagree with it. This is where children especially look to your parents. You're not just being obedient to your parents for the sake of obedience. You're being obedient to your parents to grow in holding on to yourself, to say, I am in control and I make decisions, okay? Make the decision to be subject to God. That's your decision. We have to work at that every day. And so when we're obedient to our parents, it's a work, it's a practice. Nobody's perfect, but we work to be perfect. We work at perfection. So obedience ultimately to God's law, but ultimately sacrificing one of our most precious gifts, that freedom of will. This is God's desire, for us to give him that precious gift of our free will freely to give to him, freely to go to him, because this is true love. When we are free, then we can truly love him. Then we can truly obey him. We can truly give ourselves to him. And so we work to put God in that first place in our life. We must work to obey his desires for us. As he asks his mother, how is it that you sought me? What are we willing to give up to God? What are we willing to say, okay, I'm going to put this aside. I'm going to fight against these distractions to seek God's will for me, to seek his desire for me, to be with him. This is our fight. This is our struggle, because we see all these physical things here, all these comforts, all these delightful things of this world. But he asks us as well, what are you doing to live the life of Christ, to live the faith? It takes effort on our part. Again, we don't float to heaven. We sink to hell. We have to swim. We have to work. Confession once in a while, where you say you're sorry, and then nothing changes. What are we working to change about ourselves? What are we working to do? Do you strive to be the elect of God? Or is it just a fond idea? Brethren, put ye on as the elect of God, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. But above all these things, have charity, which is the bond of perfection. We work at charity every day to see God is with us. He's here, he's present with us, even within us when we're in the state of grace. We're temples of the Holy Ghost. We have that duty, that obligation to work at living in that state, being conscious of our calling to live a Christian life, to be followers of Christ, to live his life for others, to show the light of the faith in the world in these trying times. And we can do it because God has called us to it. Christ Almighty has come to us. He's given us the way, the means of salvation. And so we have to every day work at taking it up. Every day work at being conscious of ourselves, conscious of the world and the things that we have around us, the temptations that lead us to sin, to remove those occasions of sin and to be working at living our faith. This is a spiritual life, and we have to wake up to it. If we don't, we'll lose our soul. We'll drift away. We'll be fallen back into the world and into a fallen state. Christ has called us to elevate us, to be that elect, to be those chosen ones, that he has given us special grace to overcome and be that light of the world in these trying times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.